March 15, 2023, it's What Pedro Show.
I got a mind to land up. I got a mind to go back home. I got a mind to ramble. Got a mind to go back home. Got a mind to be a good boy. Leave all you women alone. Women all screaming, my dog, but I never raise my head. Women all screaming, my dog, but I never raise my head. You wanna be my baby? You'll have to come under my command. Some people love in the winter, and some love in the fall. But I love early in the morning, that's the best time of all. Yes, I love my baby, but my baby won't behave. I'm gonna follow you, baby, follow you to your grave.
Atmospheric river, yeah. Is that like
it's like the pipeline from Hawaii,
straight,
right?
Direct. It's not cold enough to snow in the snowy places, but yeah, it's big enough to make a mess for everybody.
Oh, yeah. We're lucky here up north, right? Sacktown and shit, those people.
Poor flooding and
right. And
current.
Speaking of which, uptown, 400 miles north, Oak Town, East Bay, because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. We got Brother KB. Welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Hey, thank you, thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. We started the show off with I Got a Mind Ramble Blues. This is John Coltrane with Johnny Hodges. They used to call Johnny Hodges Rabbit. And he's a big hero to John Coltrane. So this is when he was a young man getting played with him, 1954. Something live over the radios. And then something you gave me, Brother KB, Commando.
Uh-huh.
A tune called Beasticles. Right? Yeah. No, Breasticles.
I there you go. There you go. I knew you'd catch it.
Yeah, I'm a slow learner. So, okay, Brother KB, please, we got to first give credit to Howard Wolfen for the connect. Then I want to ask you to please bring your earliest musical recollection.
My earliest musical recollection? That's a hard one, man. My parents were both musicians, so earliest would be hanging around the kitchen with mom and mom singing, and, you know, there was a lot of singing in my early years, you know, just coming up.
But, they were musicians, so in the pad... Yeah. Besides your mom's voice, of course, the voice is an instrument, but was there other musical instruments?
You know, not so much, except, well, that's not true. My dad played piano. We did have a piano. I messed around with that, but what I remember is when I was, maybe 9 years old, 8, 9, running into the kitchen telling my mom that, look, I built a guitar. And what I had done is I took a tambourine and like a broomstick and some rubber bands. And I was like, look, I built a guitar. And she was like, child. And she actually got me like an acoustic guitar because she realized I was interested.
Well, that's happening.
Cool. Yeah,
she was that's
next week. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll make one myself. You know?
Now, so, Katie, let me get this straight. You didn't have to go through the fucking... The torture of piano lesson experience.
No, I didn't have to.
Okay, even though there was one in the pad. And you said you jumped on it? You had some fun with it?
Yeah, a little bit. I was much more interested in stringed instruments than playing the piano, but I was probably intimidated because my dad was freaking hella good, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
That's a good one. So long ago, it's hard for me to say, but I feel like it was probably Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
It was like one of the albums with that opened up and all the animation all over. Yeah.
Oh, Pedro, right. He did that.
You know? Yeah.
He did the little cartoons and shit. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that caught my eye.
What about first gig you saw?
First gig I saw. Wow. That's hard to say. My older sisters were, one of my sisters was an actress, so I probably, one of the first performances I saw would have been at like the New Lafayette Theater in Harlem. Okay. So, yeah. Going to my sister doing her thing. But music-wise, I didn't get into going out to shows until I met the guys in Nasty Facts. And
we'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead. Let's keep it way in the fucking primal stages. What about at school? Let me ask you about school. Yeah. Were you in the fucking marching band or the choir or shit like that?
We didn't really have that kind of thing. I went to a school that was kind of on the small side in Brooklyn Heights. We did have things like, how do I explain this? I played the recorder, you know, fourth grade.
And let me tell the listeners, people, that's kind of like a flute.
Kind of.
We're not talking tape recorder.
I just watched last night on South Park, the recorder episode.
There you go. I played the recorder.
It's kind of diatonic. It's got holes in it.
There you go, and you blow it, you know?
Right.
But they had me doing Baroque music. I mean, literal Baroque music. And so that's kind of where
I... A little tiny, right?
Yeah.
Look, I want to, before we get to the, because I want to ask you about after school, you know, not graduate, but in the afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band. But first, I want to play the stuff you gave me from the Irvin Claw Trio. Earn It.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. because of you. You give us strength to tell the truth. We are a team. You know it's true. Without your love, this club is empty. We work hard and battle through. We pay the price to entertain you. But more, much more than this, we do it our way. Pay to play.
Can reach her now. I'm actually calling to inform them now.
Thank you. trials and great tribulations. Dreams of our feet in cool, muddy water after May rains. A pile of ash-coated prayer stones behind the wire chicken coop on the plateau above the shore. Though simply constructed with little thought of long-term reinforcement, the bridge survived each and every flood, still standing for us when the waters would recede. Because of the bridge, one unified settlement grew on both shores of Bayou Teche. Firewood, half dry and half moist. Husky patriots armed with dog whistle jargon meet behind the rose hedges. Her brother had become inattentive at his job at the meat processing plant, consumed with his quest to find a cache of treasure buried in a brass bucket by retreating French pirates 2 centuries past. The Order of the Star has been abolished. The electric lights turned off, and our eyes are recalibrated, accustoming themselves to natural light only. Considering whether to flee or to remain, reinvented. Reedy, languid, almost melodies float across the water from somewhere behind the tall live oaks. Detached, but not indifferent. I should not disrupt the purity of this bayou-side sundown by speaking. Cloudy, sharp and sour raspberry lemonade, served from a chipped and opaque, sweating, heavy glass pitcher. Thick pine smoke in our eyes, already moist with tears. Manifestations of sebum on the horizon. Hard trials and great tribulations. Thank you.
Thank you. cake, bubble gum, sweetest confection is sugar, you sweetheart, you, fine as a bed full of diamonds, pot of gold at the rainbow's end, a crystal chandelier, you sweetheart, you. Sunny day in May, a pair of brand new shoes, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you sweetheart, you. Wonderful as a bouquet of roses, snowflakes on our noses, good as good, I suppose is, you sweetheart, you.
I cannot wait.
Show that chunk of music started off with the Irving Claw Trio and Earn It. Then we had Spice Pistols from their new EP, Our Way. Guided by Voices, Queen of Spaces. Queen of Space, I think that was not Eva Gabor, Zsa Zsa. She gets all burned up. Obama's Prendon after that, A Walk in the Disenchanted Wood. Rabutan with Bill Shute, A Walk, Bridge on the Bayou. That's East Bay, right? El Cerrito, very northwest bayou that John Fogerty. Right, 19 minutes, 40 seconds, greatest name for a band. Mercury, The Winged Messenger. Street Sex after that with Collared. Kept collared means, right, around the neck. I remember Animals, Pink Floyd, it's still England, a way of saying something, was fitted. With collar and chain. Like, I would never say it. That project we did with Graham Lewis, me and Bob Lee. Brother Matt
makes it sound classy.
We call it fitted because we would never use that fucking word. We know what it means. We don't use it. Okay. Brand new band out of Dublin, Ireland. Hubert Selby Jr. Infants with Fangs and a Cape. Yeah, say no more, right? The Island after that out of Canada with Socio Zero. And that's spelling zero with the X, people. Jad Fair and Samuel Locke Ward, brand new album. And you, sweetheart, you. And finally, it's from you, Brother KB, the Young Lovers, Younger Lovers.
That's right.
Shabuli.
Yeah. That's right.
Osiente. Oh, it's Shabuli. Shabuli.
Yeah.
Watch
yeah.
A slow learner. Okay, now let's get back to where we were, like, after school, but not graduate, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the basement band.
Yeah, well, you know.
Band, let me know.
Yeah, Nasty Facts started out as a cover band. And, we actually practiced in our drummer's basement in Park Slope in Brooklyn, you know? And that was cool because his parents just let us hang out, smoke weed, whatever. As long as they knew where we were, they were cool. So we stayed in the basement pretty much all the time in the summer. You know, when there was no school, it was like, that's where we were, just hanging out, working on songs, you know.
Now, how many pieces was the band?
4-piece band, 2 guitars, bass, and drums.
And I'm going to guess, but that basement, it belonged to the drummer?
Yeah.
There's a guy in the rear with all the gear.
There you go. That's the way it goes.
We ain't got to, like, set up, tear down every fucking track, right?
He was all set. You know, okay. All of us, we just left our gear there.
Yeah. You just jump on and ride.
It was great.
You said you guys started out, you like me and V Boone, copying songs off records.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, when I joined the band, you know, they were like, when I auditioned.
Oh, they already
like,
had the band.
Yeah, Brad and Jeff, the 2 guitar players, and they had a band for a while. They're younger than I am, actually, a couple
was
of years
younger.
Was it
called Nasty Facts?
Yeah, no, they were called Pandemonium. It was
okay.
A cover band.
Good they're, name change.
Yeah, right, for real. Their bass player left town, and I jumped in, and they wanted me to audition. They said, here, learn the songs on this album. They gave me Kiss Alive 2. So I learned a bunch of Kiss songs, and that's how I wound up in Pandemonium.
Yeah, Kiss ain't right? Too far from you, right? They're Queens.
Right, you know, so keeping it all in the hood, you know.
But, I heard that they were called, before they were called Kiss. Look, me and D Boone, we saw Kiss before, like 3 or 4 times before they even had an album. They'd open up for anybody, like Wishbone Ash or Savoy Brown. They were called Wicked Lester.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, another good name change.
Yeah. I don't know about the S's, but... Anyway, so you passed the audition.
I passed the audition. I thought I was a god. I was like, wow, this is so easy. I can play these songs, you know. It's Kiss songs. It's 4 chords, right? So when you're a little kid and you're just starting, like, that was my first time trying to play the bass guitar at all.
Oh, it's bass guitar.
Okay. Yeah, I was the bass player.
Because you told me you built a banjo out of the tambourine and broom.
Right,
Where did you get the bass?
Check this out. Well, okay, so the guys in Pandemonium were like, we want you to audition. So I was like, sure, I'll audition. I go home, I go, Ma, what's a bass? I need one because I'm going to be in a band. Yeah, so she took me to a pawn shop, bless her soul. Yeah. Took me to a pawn shop, we rescued a Harmony bass and a Kalamazoo bass amp. Whoa. And we talked the guy down to like $100.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was off and running.
So that's your first bass. Mm-hmm. And so you get it just for this fucking tryout for these Pandemonium guys.
Exactly. I was like, I'm going to be in a band, and I'm going to do this. And I just...
Now, before that, Brother KB, can I ask you?
Sure.
Did you have some experience with the guitar?
Just messing around at home, you know, nothing, not really.
Because you said your mom was so sad for you playing that tambourine and broom. What kind of guitar did she get you? Did she get you acoustic one or electric one?
Yeah, an acoustic. And
that's usually everybody's first guitar, right? And then they're wondering, why does it sound like the fucking shit on the records?
Well, you know, exactly, right? But I kind of just dealt with it, and to be honest, the songs on the Nasty Facts EP were written off that acoustic. They were like, it's like a guitar that I had broken the strings. I had like 3 strings left on it. I never restrung it, and I just, that's what I fucked around on, you know?
Okay.
And so I wrote those songs on a piece of an acoustic guitar.
Now, that's getting down the road, though, because you just joined these guys' band, and you guys are copying, right? Nobody's writing songs yet.
Right, exactly. But, you know, want to know how we started doing original stuff?
Bring it.
Yeah, check it. So there was another band in the neighborhood. We all went to school together, first of all. We all went to the same school.
All right.
And, there was this other group of kids that were older than us that lived in the neighborhood, but they were a band called the Speedies, and they were playing at, like, Max's Kansas City. And
whoa.
We were like, how do you guys get to play in clubs? We want to play in clubs. And they go, well, first, you got to learn how to write your own songs, right? And we're like 3 years younger than them, and we were just like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. You know, we didn't get that they were dissing us. You know, we were just like, sure, great, okay. And we went home and started trying to write songs. And eventually I had the three songs that got chosen to be on the EP, but all of us were trying to write songs. We were all...
Well, KG, do you remember the first song you wrote for them?
Yeah, I do. It was kind of funny. It actually... If I think about it now, it was a lot. It was very slow. It was kind of a blues thing. It's called Strange Disease or something. I don't know. But it was like, it's kind of a blues thing now that I look back on it, you know. But eventually
you
I
know what? There's a slow song about a disease. I remember off the third Wipers album.
Huh. Sound
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
An alien. No one likes an alien or some shit like that.
you know?
Yeah, that's a trip.
Yeah,
Greg
yeah.
Stage, Wipers was a big deal to us. When he saw the Minutemen gig up in Portland, Oregon, oh, my God, we couldn't believe he was there. D-Boom went through the stage, kept playing, didn't stop.
Okay, you know, so what band was a huge, changing, life-changing experience for me was when I saw the Bad Brains.
Ah, great
when
band.
When I was 15. Check this out. We got to open for them. I was freaking 15. We opened for the Bad Brains in some little club in Manhattan, run by...
Seven?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Can't remember the name of the bar, damn.
I think it was called A7, because they, like, held court there for a little while.
Yeah, it might have been A7, but I think this was even before A7 was around, to be honest
with
you.
Oh, okay, okay.
It was run by this woman named Uma, and she... And I can't... Damn, I wish I could remember the name of the club. But anyway, we got to open for the Bad Brains. That changed my life, because to see black guys playing punk like they played, man,
yeah.
Blew my mind. I was like, okay, there is a place for me. I'm going to be all right if I do this. It's going to be fine.
Incredible.
They changed my life. They changed my life, seriously.
Yeah, that was some band. I mean,
they
raised the bar up for all us in the movie.
Hell yeah. Amazing.
So that Strange Disease, did you, when you played it for the guys, what was their opinion?
Well... honestly, I don't remember. I know that we started playing it and we recorded it for a demo. That was one of the three songs on our very first demo.
And where'd you record it?
I wish I could remember, bro. I was
studio?
Like, you know what I think may have happened is we may have recorded it at, Brad was the guitarist in the band. His dad was an engineer for National Lampoon. He used to do all the comedy records and shit.
I'm pretty sure
he took us into his studio on an off time, you know, and we recorded like three songs real quick. Like, so.
Okay. Do you remember the first fucking gig?
The first gigs, we were still a cover band. So we were gigging. But the first real club gig, I do remember. But that was at CBGB's, and I was probably 15. I was the oldest one in the band, so all the other guys were like 12 and 13.
Jesus.
And we played CB's. And actually, CB's and Max's kind of took us under their wings. Like Hilly and Pete Crowley from Max took us under their wing and would book us once a month at least at their spots. And it was... good times.
How was that first gig where you're playing your own material?
It was amazing. That was the first time I played in the club. So
they didn't throw shit. I'm asking, was it success, failure?
Yeah, no, it went well. People were kind of blown away because we were little kids.
Yeah.
We were seriously little kids.
Obviously that little, you guys are not really torn. You can't even drive.
Nah, exactly.
Now, you know, actually, for New Yorkers, don't drive anyway because it's too fucking hard to park. But
exactly.
How did you get shit around on the train?
We hired a roadie. We hired this guy, and he would come pick us up, take us to the show, and then after the show, eventually he'd come and pick us up and take us back home. But he was also the roadie, and this is way back. This is like 77, 78. He was the roadie. For the Ramones. So we were low on the totem pole. So there were nights where we'd be waiting for fucking ever for him to come get us. You know, be like, oh, sorry, man, Joey had this box of pizza. He was wandering around the intersection. Couldn't get him in the van. I'm sorry. Whatever, you know. Wild times.
So, what about in school? Did you do music for school?
Like I said, I did play the recorder.
No, but later on, like high school, like, or even after, like graduating, did you want to go to music school, like at Berklee School of Music or some shit?
Nah,
like that?
You know what? I'm pretty much self-taught on all the instruments I play. I'm a multi-instrumentalist, so I play drums, I play bass, I play guitar, and I sing and write songs, right? And I've done that all my life, but self-taught. When I, they wanted me to go to college for music, they wanted me to go to Oberlin in Ohio.
Oberlin in Ohio, and
play Baroque music on the recorder. And I could not, I was like, I'm sorry, that's really not where I see myself going at this point.
Makes sense. Let me know, how long did Nasty Facts last?
By my calculations, we were together something like 8 or 9 years, to be honest. We were together a long time, but we just kind of, when I graduated from high school and it was time for college and adulting and all the things, I just kind of had to keep moving, you know, and eventually I wound up out here in California. But yeah, I kind of, things just changed. Adulting got in the way and the band, we all just kind of grew up and grew apart, you know?
It happens. Well, what about the stuff like you've given me? The Younger Lovers, Commando, Irvin Claw Trio?
Well, you know, those are bands that are, for example, Commando is a group that's out right now. They're on fire right now.
Okay, see, I didn't know the timeline, so some stuff is contemporary and some stuff's way back in your past.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Now, Commando, they're made up of a bunch of people, but one of the folks in the band, and they're amazing, one of the folks in the band is a bandmate of mine currently in a group that I play in called The Homobiles. So I gave you that The Commandos cut track for you to check them out. Now, The Younger Lovers, that's a guy, Brontez Purnell, who has been in quite a few bands. He's also a black punk rock kind of cat. Who is, he's queer, and back in the day, I don't know, this is so long ago, I got a MySpace message saying, are you really the ex-lead singer of Nasty Facts? Because if you are, you changed my life. And I was like, who is this little cute chocolate gay boy writing me, right? And, so we wound up being friends, and he's the reason I even found out that Nasty Facts had a shelf life. Like, I had moved so far away, you know, like, it was, the last thing on my mind was a band, my first band from when I was 15.
I tell you, music's a beautiful connect, Justin.
It's wild.
Look, can we continue this? Because we're at the end of the first hour, Brother King.
For sure.
March 15, Ides of March, Caesar went down today, what, almost 2,000 years ago. Be careful, people, especially if you're on the stairs. First hour, Watt Peter, your special guest, Brother KB, Brother Matt, hold tight, hour two. March 15, 2023, second hour, Watt for Pedro Show.
Okay, stay where you are, we're going to do one more.
or how when you found yourself. There's got to be a moment. I can feel it in my heart. Before I check out, I find my room. There's got to be a moment. I don't have any doubt. Before I check out, thank you.
show, start off the second hour. People, here's Nasty Facts. Okay, we're a little out of sequence here, but Watt's a slow learner. He's learning about Brother JB, KB and his musical journey. He's getting it together. Crazy About You. And Alexander Hack after that with 10.5 points from his little opera about some hypothetical young person in Berlin. Shit in the Midnight Mexican Highway. Wasted. This is out of Japan. I don't know what the name means. Maybe they don't either. Second language. Headboggle after that. Here's an East Bay band. Headboggle. Yeah, Dazzler. Nasty Facts. Another tune. Drive My Car. Diane. Don't really. I love the wreck sounds at the end there. Maybe not Drive My Car. Or Drive My Car Safely. Okay. Diane Marie Clove after that with You Found Yourself. Francisco Fusaro / Froze with Improvisio in a Minore, Omaggio A.E.M. And then Adam Trumbull with Love Won't Act. Nasty Facts for third time, people. Get to You. Midwestern Medicine after that, The Gold Baton Part 2. They didn't give me Part 1, so I don't know what the fuck that's about. Ray Shinata Reno with The Doctor's In. And finally, it's from you, Brother KB. Fatty Cakes and the Puff Pastries with Panic Attack.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Okay, so enlighten us to fucking Fatty Cakes and the Puff Pastries.
They're a band that's happening right now. All I can say is look them up, man. They're too much fun live. All women, punk, great, just hella funny. They're hilarious, and their songs have a message, and I don't know, I can't say enough good things about it. They're eye candy, they're hilarious. They're you know, I mean, they got a song called Panic Attack, come on.
Yeah, I'm way into it. Now, I played just now in that chunk of music, three Nasty Habits, Nasty Facts, thinking of fucking Rolling Stones, right? Nasty Facts, did you write those three tunes?
Those are all mine, yeah, I wrote those three.
And what... Would you make demos, or would you come in and show the guys, or?
Yeah, I would probably just put, you know, myself on a little cassette deck and bring it in to the kids, to the guys, and then we'd all just kind of work it out, you know.
But after nine years, it ran its course, and you say you end up in California.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen? Accident?
Well, it's a long story. We're talking 45 years ago, but I'll try to condense it for you. I wound up. Out of Nasty Facts, I kind of had been spoiled. Like, I didn't want to work a job. I just wanted to be a working musician. This has been the theme of my life. I just want to be a working artist who can sustain myself doing art of any kind, but music in particular. So I wound up for a little while being a session player in New York. Like, people knew me as a bass player, so I got hired to do recording sessions for people, play in gigs for people, whatever. Whoever was going to pay me, I was down, right? I did that for a few years and realized that actually that's not what I wanted. I didn't want to be a side guy, the session guy, whatever. I wanted to be working on original music. And New York is too hard to keep a band together. You know, everyone's of the musicianship that I was looking for, we were all getting offers from people with money. Right? Real money. And I just said, you know what? I need to get my head together and figure this out. Not to mention being queer, being trans. I had a lot on my mind. I was trying to navigate a lot of things, right? So I wound up deciding on, you know, go west, young man. I'm going to go check out California. Yeah. I thought, you know, where should I go? I don't know anything. And I thought, L.A. is the sister city to New York, right? Or whatever. Right. So I'm going to go to L.A. I wound up in L.A. in Hollywood working in the film industry, and that took up, like, because I'm also an audio engineer, by the way. I didn't tell you guys that, but I'm an audio engineer. I wound up working doing post-production sound for, like, really bad horror movies for a while. You know, like Puppet Master and Trancers 1, 2, and 3 and things like that. Just bad horror movies. But it was fun, you know.
And you got to pay the rent.
And I paid the bills, exactly. And, in fact, I made more money than I'd ever made. And so that was an interesting learning experience. But, again, that took up so much of my time that I couldn't be in a band. I kept trying to be in bands. I had no time to go to rehearsals, because I was always editing video shit, you know, so I had, that was another life, you know, learning moment for me. And eventually I wound up in San Francisco, where people are just a little more free, and they were, well, were a little more free and a little crazy. And I thought, yeah, now I'll find some crazy folks who will put it, the time and energy in to being in a band that it takes to make a band work, right? And so I kind of did that thing out here, but I wasn't playing punk music. I wound up in the 90s being playing hip-hop a lot of hip-hop bass in live bands, and you know, that was interesting. But I played throughout my life just about every kind of music you can name. I've played guitar in a Soca project. I actually played keyboards in a reggae band. I play everything. Anything. I just love music, period. Yeah. So, you know. But here I am now. I just had my 60th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and I'm actually in a working punk band again, playing drums. So, you know, and if you told me that this would be happening 20, 30, 40 years ago, you'd say, oh, yeah, you're going to be, when you're 60, you're going to be drumming in a punk band that goes on tour. I'd have been like, yeah, what are you smoking? You know what I mean? Because...
Well, how did it happen, brother? Let me know how that happened. How did you end up playing drums for a punk band that's going to go on tour?
Well, I've been in the Bay Area for 30-something years now, and so I have community of lots of crazy queer and trans punk folks and artists, you know? And some of my buddies back in the day were in a band called Tribe 8, and they were like all queer female punk band, right? And everyone loves Tribe 8. So I've known these guys forever, ever, ever. You know, fast forward now, the lead singer from Tribe 8 is someone named Lenny Breedlove. Lenny had a new band called The Homobiles. Now, they had a gig where they were going to be opening for a band called Pansy Division. It was a big deal.
Oh,
gig.
I know about Pansy Division.
Yeah, okay, so it was a big deal gig. Their drummer quit the band like 2 weeks before the gig, and they were going to have to cancel. And I was like, hey, you guys, you know, I don't know if you know, but I play drums. Yeah, I can play. I'll sit in for the show. Don't cancel the gig. Don't do that, you know. So I learned the songs, jumped up there, did the show, and, dude, I had so much fun playing punk for the first time since, like, Nasty Facts days, that I was just like, this is a blast. What the hell? And, you know, the gig went so well that I've been with the band ever since. And that was 3 years ago or so. I don't know.
Now, so, you say you played everything, but did you actually play drums in a band before that?
Yeah, I've hired myself out as a drummer, as a bassist, as a guitarist. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that, but, man, a drummer... I think if you can, my personal opinion, if you can play drums, you can probably play anything because it's all rhythm based, you know?
Yeah. They're all different. All the instruments are different, of course. But I love drumming. It's an incredible workout, especially punk drumming. And it's such a good time to be playing loud, fast music again.
Pansy Division gig was a success, and you've been in the band ever since.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. Now, is it only gigs? Have you recorded with these cats?
We're in the process right now of getting some new stuff out. We recorded one song over the pandemic times, but each of us recorded our parts at home, and then everybody sent the stuff to me, and I mixed it. And that was a cover of Which Side Are You On?
Yeah, Woody Guthrie. We're going to play it next hour. Okay.
So that'll be me on drums, Lenny Breedlove singing, Fury is a guitar player who used to be in a band, their name is slipping my mind, but it'll come to me. So now the Homobiles, we're in the process of getting some new songs, new original material, because I've become part of the songwriting team with the Homobiles now, so we're moving forward. It's pretty cool.
I'm very, very happy. And speaking of moving along, it's that time and part of the show to move along to Brother Matt in his spin cycle.
Right on. This one's going out for KB.
Vince Maroney coming up with his act.
Thank you. every time. Feels so good. Did you hear me? Are you listening? Aren't you listening? Did you hear me? From the barrel to the trigger, passing flesh and blood. I can see you somewhere smiling. First the heart, next the brain. Did you hear me? Are you listening? Aren't you listening? Did you hear me? Hits out number 69.
about that? We did it.
Brother Matt, what made you do what you did to us this installment?
I'm going to blame KB for that, mentioning his first record being Parliament, so that was kind of fun to dig out, and then mentioned Hurley, so we got some Wrinkling Bros in there off of Spike. Mentioned Flipper, had some Flipper in there. We had the Bon Bons,
that
just because.
Flipper too, not your tip.
Yeah, a little different twist.
Yeah, and Bon Bon, Pedro's own.
Yeah, Paloma. Because he said something about supporting local friends' bands.
That's right. That's Raul's wife. Huh?
Right.
Okay, Brother Matt, thank you so much. People, March 15, 2023, Dishwa Pedro, so hold time for hour 3. March 15, 2023, it's the third hour of the Pedro Show.
Spirits and ideas, Budweiser. Sure beats sipping on hand sanitizer. My legs in the war, but I can't crack a frown. George and Budweiser never let me down.
Thank you.
show. Start off the third hour. Homobiles, with which side are you on? Thank you, Mr. Guthrie. And really happening the interpretation there, Brother King.
Hey, thank you. Tragic
Assembly after that out of North Carolina with Blurry. And the film, The Stand Up. Bajan Boy out of the Netherlands. Brother AJ. Accordion. Look, take the K out of punk rock, you got pun rock.
Well, the handle is we put the pun back in punk rock.
That's right.
If you're missing it, check us out.
Pineapple Empress from South London after that. All I Want to See. Scrapers Papers. That's a good name. George and Bud Weiser. And finally, this is something you gave me, Brother KD. Yeah. Ayanako with Particle Mace. What's that?
Ayanako. They're awesome. They were awesome. Unfortunately, they broke up. But yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Great band from Brooklyn. Yeah.
Okay. Buddies are yours?
Buddies of mine, exactly. Very talented. Very talented. Chocolate, little queer chocolate folk. Very cool.
And where in the drum set you're using with Homobiles?
Right.
I mean, do you have a big batch of music gear, or did you have to get something for them?
I don't have a big batch of gear, and it's a funny story. That drum kit, at first I was borrowing a kit from the bass player for the Homobiles, but we were in our rehearsal space, which was a huge, it's a place called OMC, Oakland Music Complex, and we were walking into rehearsal. In the hallway outside of the office was this pile that just looked like a pile of crap to me. Like, I just walked by it. We get to the rehearsal room, my bass player goes, hey, did you see that drum kit in the hallway? And I was like, what drum kit, right? I go back and I look, and it's like, this kit looks like it's been beat to hell. It's like somebody's old punk rock kit. It's got a piece of paper on it that says $60. I'm like, huh. And I kick a couple of scans. I'm like, you know, this kit with a little TLC might be all right. $60, price is right. So I bought it, and I freaking took it all apart, cleaned every bit, put it all back together, new skins, new cymbals, new snare, and now it sounds like God. And I feel like I built it myself. You know what I mean? It's like a very special kit to me. I love this kit. It's a Tama. It's a Tama kit. It's great. It's a great kit.
It was meant to be. You just stumbled onto it.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. I'm one of the luckiest people that you've never heard of. I'm just saying. My life has been charmed. Seriously, yo. I'm serious. I mean, you know, about, I don't know, 17 years ago, I started my own production company here in the Bay Area called Queer Rebel Productions, and we pretty much exist to give voice and a platform to queer and trans artists of color, and we've been doing it forever, and we're still going strong. We now have a residency program where we teach young artists how to navigate the art world, how to write grants, how to produce events, that type of thing. So I feel like I'm helping to build community that I did not have when I was young coming up and trying to navigate the world and life, you know. So I'm just trying to give back because I've been a very lucky, I've had a charmed existence, and I'd like to share that with folks who don't have the kind of options that I lucked into so many times in my life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's very, very kind of you, because a lot of people, shit hoarders, you know, and grabbing for the short and curlies.
Yeah, and a lot of people are going for the big fame. I want to be famous. I grew up in New York. I saw that shit, and I was like, you know what? I want to be a working musician, period. I don't want to be famous. I want to be a working musician. So I'm like living the dream, to be honest with you. I'm pretty freaking happy. I got very few complaints. Sure, a little more money would be nice, but I get to hang out with like my friends and go on the road and play loud music. I mean, come on. I'm having a ball.
Yeah. That's I think that's really healthy attitude, man.
Hey,
you gave me this music here, Brother KD. Death Threat. Lollygaggers. Queers. Let's listen.
Right on.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition. We started that chunk off with middle-aged queers doing Death Threat, in parentheses, lollygaggers. George Hurley would use that word, lollygag. It meant like fucking... I remember that guy, Gary Larson?
Yeah.
He had this one, there'd be one panel comics, right?
Right.
And he had like these fucking cowboy dudes, there was like start line. And it said at the bottom, 100 yard mosey. Things, motherfuckers. They were lollygagging. What's that?
I was going to say, Death Threat, the song, was by the Lollygaggers. Middle-aged Queers did...
Oh, okay, they're the original artists, so they covered them. Okay.
No. Lollygaggers, I think you just have it typed wrong. It's Lollygaggers who did the song Death Threat.
Okay.
Middle-aged Queers is a separate band.
Okay.
And their song is Size Queen.
That's right. We're going to play... That got played last there. Okay, yeah. So shit got written down really... I'll correct it for the playlist.
All right. Very cool.
What?
And those are both local open friend bands that are friends of mine and who I have... I actually went on the road with Middle-Aged Queers when their drummer couldn't do it. And then again, I did some gigs with them when they're
paid. The Rescue. Again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then with the Lollygaggers, I wound up playing drums for them when their drummer couldn't do it. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's bitchy. Noisuke, yeah. After that, words from a friend. The Ugly Blankets with Are You D-Experience. On Jimmy's tune.
Yeah. Right.
Handsome Furs out of Finland with Talking Hotel Arbat Blues. Doot. In parentheses, if only the solution was this easy. And Mountain Offense, Brother Philip and Mammoth, really, he said the snow was so heavy, it came through the window.
Oh, man. Wow-wee.
And then finally, Queen Size, Middle-Aged Queers. Now I got that right.
Size Queen.
So,
Size Queen.
Size Queen. Yeah. Sorry about that. Not Queen Size. That's a bed. Sorry about that. Brother KB, what's up next? You said you guys are getting ready to record.
Yeah. Got some new material we're stoked about. We're doing the gigs and playing the songs in front of people. And then we want to get them in the studio as soon as possible because it's like, you know, the band doesn't sound like... The Homobiles does not sound like it used to sound. The Homobiles was together many years before I joined the band. And now that I'm in the band and we have a new bass player, it's a new... iteration of the band, so we're about to get the new songs recorded, and but it's great.
You know, that's the way it goes. Sometimes an old band wants to keep it going just by replacing dudes and having dudes think like they were the original cats, but then other bands, they evolve. Hey, we got different cats, the band's going to sound different.
Yeah, I think that we're of that category. We're different, and we know it, and we're, you know, we're excited to do new music. It's songwriting is a big part of it, you know.
Sure. So. Composition is really important. And I love the idea of the drummer involved. Too many times the drummer's shut out of the composition part.
Yeah, no, but see, because I play all the instruments, you know, we'll sit down together with all of us on guitars and just write stuff, you know. And then we take it. And amplify it and figure out how it's really going to roll. But, you know.
Yeah. Now, if people wanted to find out more about you on the internet, where would they go, Brother Katie?
You could look up the Homobiles on Bandcamp and Spotify and all that. You can also look up Queer Rebel Productions. We're at queerrebels.org.
QUEERREBELS.org.
That's us.
And then there's these corporate websites for people. Brother KB, any final advice that you would give to somebody just getting, you know, me and you, we're over 60. We've been in this racket a while.
Yeah, man. I would just say, you know, follow your heart. Don't try for the big... fame, blah, blah, mainstream, DIY, man. Do it yourself. And
Walt Whitman, 1855, Leaves of Grass, people. He put out 12 poems to try to stop the Civil War. It didn't work, but he put his heart into it.
You know?
Brother KB, when you get done with this Homobiles album. When you come back on the show, we can play it and talk about it.
Oh, hells yeah.
Okay, the invite's open.
You got it. You got it.
Thank you so much for the years. Always essential. Aiden in a bet.
Pleasure.
Hey. Next happy
week,
to be
got John Truby.
Right on.
Brother KB, keep on keeping on, right?
Yeah, you too, man. Okay. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
People, it's been March 15, 2023 edition. Wild for Pedro. She'll keep your powder dry.